I received a phone call on December 23rd, year 2000. We were in the middle of a snowstorm, and it was about 2 in the morning, and it was my mom, and her voice was pretty faint. And I knew for mom to call me at 2 in the morning, there was something significant going on. Mom didn't bother you. Regardless of how mom felt, her reaction was when you offered something, she always said, "I'm fine." But she said, "Tom, come over, I need your help." And we lived where we live now, outside of Adamsburg, over northeast of Logansport. Except it was the house before the fire. So it was not the house we live in now, but it was the location where we live now. And I got in our little Neon that we had at the time and started over to their house. They lived over here on 450 North where Vince lives. Now, he's in the same spot, different dwelling, but same spot. I got within probably a quarter mile, a little closer maybe, tenth of a mile maybe, from the mobile home where mom and dad lived. They had come home from Haiti and were retired and living there and attending the church. Mom always sat where Kathy Hunt is sitting. So it's nice to have her there in that spot. And mom was an incredible strength and help. Didn't realize how much I depended on her and what a force she was in my life. Haven't realized the force that she was in my life. Didn't realize how much of a force she was in my life until after she was gone. Expressed appreciation to her. Don't feel I took her for granted, but have realized since then the force that she was. Little parentheses, little exit ramp for a minute. I'm not worried about leaving my kids $1 million. They don't need to worry. I want to be a force in their lives. I want to make a difference. They may not realize it until later. That's okay. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying that's okay. People don't always realize. I did not realize the force that both my mother and father were until they were gone. But as I went over to the trailer where mom and dad lived over here on 450 North, pulled up and actually got stuck on the road. Got out, ran in the snow, blowing snow, drifting, stuck on the road. Went up to the mobile home, went in the house to find mom sitting on the couch in the living room. And she wasn't in very good shape. She was in her 80s at the time. She was struggling to get her breath. And it was obvious to me that she was in trouble. We realized later she was having congestive heart failure. But at the time, it was quite the predicament. And I leaned down to her on the couch. I remember it like yesterday. And I said, "Mom, what can I do to help?" And she said, "Get me back to the bathroom. I'm not feeling well at all." And she was very, very weak. Normally a very strong woman. Little, but mighty. And Pam, could you come up here? You're not gonna like this. Huh? What's that? Oh. She couldn't walk, and so I couldn't ask some other lady to do this. So I got her up like this, and she was a little shorter. Could you squat? No, just kidding. Okay, she's taking her shoes off. Okay. So, let's see, that's about right. I could put my chin on top of her head. And I remember this took a little bit. And I said, they're not videoing this, are they? And I said, Mom, you're not going to be able to walk. Put your feet on top of mine. Ouch. Oh, no. All right. And I said, put your arms around me like this. Now we're having fun, but we're not trying to be cute here. Do you know that in the midst of the most deep sorrows, God is still working? I took my little mother, who I adored, and I held her like this, and she stood on my feet. And I said, now, Mama, we're going to go backwards down the hall. And we walked backwards down the hall like this. And what I didn't know is that the loving Heavenly Father was letting me give my mother a 10-minute hug because she would be dead in 5 minutes. We don't know. Thank you. We don't know why things happen. I can't hand you a booklet and tell you why some of the things happen that happen in your life that throw you. I don't know why what I'm about to describe with Mother happened, but I know that that morning there was no coincidence. The Lord knew how I adored my mother. The Lord knew that my father was a traveling evangelist and a godly man that had a prophet's anointing, and he needed to do that. And Mom was kind of our mom and dad. My first guitar that I actually built out of plywood, because I wanted my own guitar and we were poor, I actually built one out of plywood and cut it out and drew it. Lonnie, I wish I had it. I drew it on plywood, and I couldn't saw it because, you know, plywood's hard to saw when you're a little kid, and it catches on the teeth because the grain goes different ways. And I remember Mom coming in there and said, honey, I'll help you. We'll saw that. We'll do it a little bit at a time. And she put her foot up on that thing and had that up on a stand. She'd saw, and then she'd say, you take a turn. I'd take four or five, and then she'd take a turn. And we sawed that neat guitar, and I made my first guitar. Made my first saddle for a horse. We couldn't afford a saddle. Mom said, we can probably make a saddle. Let's try to make one. And we took some canvas and foam rubber, and we even had stirrups, and we made a. I adored my mother. I don't understand all that happened that night in that snowstorm because I lost Mom that night. But I know that that was no coincidence when she said, honey, can you get me back to the bathroom? She always called me honey. Wasn't that nice? And when she stood on my feet, and we walked backwards down that hall, I was giving her a 10-minute hug for the last time. I don't understand everything happens in life, but God shows up. And he'll show up. Don't throw it in the towel. Don't jump out of the ship when the waters get stormy. Hang on. He'll help you along. He'll give you little encouragements along the way. And he'll help you. He won't give you a written explanation for everything. You won't have a full understanding of everything that happens to your life. I have no idea why we had a full year of cancer and then had our house burned down the same year. I have no idea why all that happened in the same year. I don't understand that. But I know God showed up over and over and over and over. I got her back to the bathroom, and I realized we were in big trouble and we had to get her help. And I thought, mercy, what am I going to do? The road is blowing shut from the snow. And I thought, oh, John Reese just bought a new Dodge pickup. What year is your truck? 98. Well, that makes sense. Okay. And I thought, John will come over here. John will come over here. I know he'll make every effort he can to come over here. Isn't it good the way God shows up in friends? We don't understand why we had to go to the funeral home. We didn't see that coming. We didn't want to go there. We don't like those places. But God shows up in the form of people that love us and care about us. And I thought, John will come over. I know he will if I call him. And aha, he can bring his wife, and she's a doctor. That'll help. While I was on the phone, now I look back, I understand it fully. Now, while I was on the phone, she began, pardon me, the kids are upstairs, she began vomiting, and she aspirated. And when I got back to the bedroom after the phone call and John said he'd come over, she was so full. It was just, I knew things were over. And trying to roll her over and, pardon me, but get some of that emptied. I could see this was going nowhere, and she was had already gasped her last breath. I don't understand that. I sat on the floor beside her body for about an hour and a half, I think. I'm not good at times, but it was a good while. They actually ended up having to plow the road for Flowers Leedy to come out. I thought that when Mom passed away, there would be a chariot, Mike. I thought there would be snorting horses with fire. Elijah was taken in a chariot of fire. I thought the woman of faith that Mom was, that when Mom died, we would hear the clatter of horses' hooves and the chariot of fire waiting to take her away. I never dreamed that she would choke and pass in that way. I'm not trying to paint a gruesome story. I'm not trying to say something inappropriate, and I certainly would never want to be insensitive. Many of you have had losses. But I'm just telling you that God will see you through the worst of circumstances, and you're not always going to know why things happen. And this is an ugly world. And people have bad theology, and they have the idea that God's doing everything. No, our world went astray. Our world went astray. And things happen that aren't supposed to happen. And God gave us a will, and generation after generation has made decisions and bad ones, and our world's in a bad condition, and there's germs, and I don't understand why when I was 50 years old and spending my life as a minister, God didn't owe me anything, but I didn't understand. Somebody said, Tom, the people you've worked with and all of you helped, why did you get cancer? I didn't mean to be smart, alecky, but honestly, when the person said that, they said, why should you have cancer? I said, why shouldn't I? I didn't even, that just came out. I wasn't trying to be cute or smart, aleck. I said, why shouldn't I? I'm in the same world as everybody else, and this is a difficult world, and God never intended for the world to be in the condition that it's in. I do know that the loving Heavenly Father who reaches down in a dark, sinful world where he isn't very welcome. Do you hear me? The loving Heavenly Father reaches down in the sinful where he isn't very welcome. Can I put another parenthesis for a minute? I had people ask me on 9/11, where was God? I said, well, I suppose he left. They said, he left? I said, well, yeah, we've been telling him to for about 20 years. We've been saying we can't pray in our schools, and we've been saying we don't want his scripture on our courthouse lawns. We've been telling, I suppose that he left. I'm a pretty nice guy, but you tell me leave enough times, I'll say, okay, you're on your own. You tell me leave enough times, I'll say, you're on your own. So the Bible says that the Spirit of God is easily grieved. He draws us, he loves us, but if you just keep putting up your hands and saying go away, he'll say, okay, I love you, but okay, you're on your own. I don't understand everything that happens in life, but I do know that the loving Heavenly Father reaches down in a sinful world and will do special things and care for his own. Allie just sang, child of God. If you devote yourself to the Lord and cancer comes your way, I certainly hope that it doesn't. It certainly isn't from God. But God can use it. Someone said, how in the world could you name a book the day I was blessed with leukemia? Well, first of all, I'm not going to apologize for that name because I asked God what to name the book over and over, and he gave me that name. And it's intrigued people. And it's drawn people in. Do I think that leukemia is some great blessing? No. Do I think that God sends that on people? No. I believe we're in a cursed world, and I believe that things happen, and that God turns the devil's plans into, he takes what the devil meant for harm and uses it for good. That's what I believe. But I believe we're subject to some of those things. I don't think that something can come into your life without God knowing it or being aware of it. So it's appropriate, the prayer I prayed right after I found out I was a medical emergency. I said, Lord, this has shocked me. This has shocked me to pieces. And I got to tell Pam in a few minutes. Please give me the ability to tell her my emotions haven't caught up yet, but you knew this morning. you do this morning. The Heavenly Father reaches down, who loves us, into a cursed world and a difficult world. And he loves us by, I don't know the reasons of mom leaving and leaving us in the way that she did. But I give that to the Lord. But I do know that the loving Heavenly Father allowed me to be there with her and allowed me to give her a 10-minute hug before she left this earth. I have written here, don't jump ship when you get blindsided. Don't jump ship when you get blindsided. Sometimes there'll be things in life that come along that you didn't expect. I don't know why mom died the way that she did, but I do know that in Romans 8:18, it says that the sufferings of this present life are not worthy to be compared to the joys. Please don't take this as me being flippant or being insensitive, even to my own mother's death. Would never do that. But I don't think we always see the whole picture. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the mind or imagination of what God has prepared for those that love him. Heaven is for eternity. Oh, it would be cool to see a chariot of fire and snorting horses to pick up my mother. But really, when you look at heaven forever and ever 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 in a place that your mind can't even imagine, is it that big a deal how it happened? And really the truth is, with congestive heart failure, I'm not being flippant, but this is a little heavy. And the manner in which she went out, actually when I think back, her life was probably snuffed out fairly quickly. And then to be ushered into a place that we sing it, I can only imagine what it will be like to walk by your side. I can only imagine what that will be like. Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or will I just bow before you in silence? What will I do? I can only imagine. Romans 8:18 again says, the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the joys of heaven. Sometimes I have written here, we got to die like Jesus did with some suffering to receive that glory. Let me say that again. Sometimes we got to die like Jesus did with some suffering in order to receive that glory. I do know that mom spent her life trying to teach us faith. When I think back of what would mom say to us over and over and over and over and over? And maybe it's because she married into the Robins, and Robinses are anxious. No one's ever noticed that. And Robinses are emotional. No one's ever noticed that. Daddy had two nervous breakdowns, and I've had two. Maybe he sent the woman of faith because she married into the Robinses, and they come from manic depressive backgrounds, and they got a whole bunch of stuff, OCD and a bunch of stuff. But I know that mom was constantly saying, and I can hear her say it, Pam, you've heard her say it. We'd come to her and I'd pour out my heart as a pastor and talk to her, and she'd say, honey, we're just gonna have to trust the Lord here. Pam's nodding, she's heard her say that. Honey, we're just going to have to trust the Lord here. So, you know what? Is it possible that when mom spent her life, is it possible that when mom spent her life trying to teach us faith, that God gave us the ultimate lesson when she died? No chariot, no snorting horses and fire, but just a scene that we didn't even want to think about. With a sign on the wall in the mobile home that said, Jesus cares that she hung there. With scriptures all through the house about the love of God and the grace of God. Trust him. trust him. All right, real quickly, I'm going to put up some spiritual strengths on Mother's Day. Spiritual strengths. Awesome spiritual strengths. I have 7 things. Don't worry, I'm not going to talk a long time on all of them. Women here today, I'd like to encourage you. Strengths that I saw in my mother. I wondered about starting the Virginia Club. What do you think? Kathy, what do you think? The Virginia Club? My mom was an incredible woman of prayer. I don't know. I'll think on the Virginia Club. But people that say, I want these virtues. I want these virtues. And thinking through things that I saw in my mother, a woman of prayer. When you answer the call to pray, that's on my office door. When you answer the call to pray, God will begin meeting all of your needs. Never a truer statement made. The call to pray. We live in a troubled world. We're nearing the return of Jesus Christ. World conditions are set for the tribulation hour. How soon will that be prophetically? I don't know. But I know in 2 Peter it says the day of the Lord will come, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works thereof shall be burned up. And we believe strongly in the second coming of Christ. I'll go into all that this morning. But I like the verse that says there also found in that the Holy Spirit spoke through Peter to write, the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all, have fervent charity for each other. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all, have fervent charity. So in these days nearing the return of Christ, during these days when our world has become distorted and troubled and things are upside down and they're a long ways from what God intended them to be a woman, a man of prayer. And when you answer the call to pray, God will begin meeting all of your needs. Mary Magdalene came early and stayed late and was the first to see Jesus. She had been a street woman with 7 demons and had been a prostitute. It's awesome. You talk about something that shouts the love of God. Mary Magdalene had been a prostitute on the streets and had 7 demons. And Jesus forgave her and allowed her to be the first one to see him after the resurrection, but she came early and stayed late. As a pastor, I watch for people who come early and stay late. That person, and I'm using that as a figure of speech, that doesn't necessarily mean for a service, even though it is cool when that happens. But I'm talking as a figure of a speech. That person that wants to be there and not miss anything. When Pastor Bishop said to me, I will pray with you every Thursday morning as a young man at the church, can you be here when you get off work and punch out at 6:30? Because I work the night shift. I said, what time will you be there? And he said, well, I'll be there about 6:45. I said, I'll be there. I will be there. I don't know what you got, but I want it. He buried 2 sons on the mission field and with tears running down his face, talked about taking a Kentucky Fried Chicken box and making a casket and burying a little baby boy. Imagine that. We have a precious little baby boy in the congregation this morning. Imagine that. But what amazed me is he would talk about it and tell about burying the child himself. And tears would run down his face and he'd say, but God was so good to me during that time. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. How in the world does a man talk about burying his son and while he's doing it, he's crying and talking about God's goodness to him? I understood that better as I walked with the Lord and learned to pray myself that in an awful death of my mother, as far as how it looked on the surface, I had the chance to give her a 10-minute hug. And that God was very good in the midst of a difficult situation. I want to be there early and stay late. I want to be that person that has a hunger. I watch and scan the congregation. I watch and scan and look for people that have a hunger. Who is it that wants They want it. That doesn't mean they understand it. That doesn't mean everything makes sense to them. Excuse me. That doesn't mean life's been easy. But they want it. And it starts with being a person of prayer. Mom sat down here where Kathy Hunt is sitting this morning. I had two women who are present in this service this morning, shared this a few weeks ago, but it bears repeating on Mother's Day, that came to me after my mother's death. And they're here this morning and they're very special to me. And they came to me and it was just neat. They kind of stood side by side and they said, "We have a request. We would like to take your mother's place in prayer." They were very humble. They said, "We don't know if we can do it, but we want to." And I thought, wow, isn't that awesome? That God is so concerned about my little desires, that knows that when I'm preaching and my retired mother from the mission field was here off to, always to my left. And what an encouragement that was to me, that God is sending two people right after that. And those two are still with us and they're still praying all the time. And that's been 17 years ago. I'm thankful that God now has added others who have stepped up and put them in my life. When you answer the call to pray, God will begin meeting all the needs in your life. A woman of prayer. Tremendous personal and moral integrity. Mom always liked the quote, and it's on my office door over there. Spend your life preaching. I actually used this as a message when I pastored in Peru. Spend your life preaching, and if necessary, use words. Mom loved that quote. When I'd ask her about messages over the years, she'd say, "I like that message when you preached on. Spend your life preaching, and if necessary, use words." In other words, let your life be an example. If necessary, use words, but don't worry about talking so much. Just let your life be an example. Let how you handle situations be an example. Let how you act when you're mistreated be an example. Let how you act when somebody shoves you around be an example. Let your attitude speak for you. That's what people want to see, and that's what people need. She was a woman of tremendous personal and moral integrity. And I want to say something about moral integrity. If Mom was here, she'd tell you this. Did you know that you can restart with moral integrity? Did you know you can restart with moral integrity? I have people come to me at times and say, "Oh, Pastor, in my past life, I've been with everybody. You don't know what my life is. My life is a mess." If Mom was here today, she would say it. You can start over with moral integrity. You can start over and draw a line and say, from this line forward, I'm not going to give myself to everyone. From now on, I'm going to look for the pearl of great price, and I'm going to put him first, and I'm going to answer the call to pray, and I'm going to become a godly person. That's the message of this ministry. That's what CMO is about. On the building outside, we have Isaiah 61. "I've come to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, set at liberty them that are bruised, to restore and to give life back again." It doesn't matter what mess you've been in. May I repeat it one more time? Mary Magdalene was a prostitute that worked the streets and had seven demonic spirits. And God chose her to see Jesus first. It wasn't Paul the apostle that saw Jesus first. It wasn't Peter that saw Jesus first. It wasn't John and James that saw Jesus first. It was Mary Magdalene. That shouts who God is and what he is. He's about starting over, and you can restart with moral integrity and become a godly person. Spiritual strengths, a woman of prayer, tremendous personal and moral integrity. Number three, passion for right. Passion for right. My mother had an incredible passion for right. I was called to the ministry at 8 years old. Mom knew that. Had an unusual experience where we went to a church. It was an unusual experience. My dad was off speaking miles away, hundreds of miles away. We went to a local church that was having a mission service. They said they were going to show movies, which was a big deal back in those days. and they showed a movie of Balium Valley, New Guinea. And I don't suppose we probably show this here now, but none of these people had any clothes on. Balium Valley was real primitive. And so, you know, as a kid, I'm thinking, this is pretty crazy. But these people were missionaries there. And then they showed the poor children digging through the trash. I went home and I cried for 3 days. I did. And my mother recognized it was unusual. And at the time, I thought I was called to be a missionary. But I realized later that God was breaking my heart for hurting people. And that was my call to the ministry. I remember shortly after that, at 9 and 10 years old, setting up a little pulpit. And I would have scripture and make notes, and I'd pretend like I was preaching because I'd seen my dad preach. And even though it was a childish acting out sort of thing, in my heart there was something driving that. I knew that God had spoken to me, that I was to do something. Became wayward in my teenage years, got bitter and angry. You've heard that story. My mom grieved over that and came to me various times and said, you are called to the ministry, a passion to see you do the right thing. I remember one time I got on a motorcycle in the yard and had a big chopper at that time, and she came out and took hold of the fork, the chrome fork on the bike. I remember it just like it was yesterday. I was getting ready to leave and go somewhere I shouldn't be going. And she said to me, she said, Tom, you're called to the ministry, and I'm not going to quit praying until you follow that calling. I'm not going to quit praying until you follow that calling. A passion for right. A passion for what God wants. A passion for the right thing. I've seen Mom go out at night and hunt for people that she had been praying for. I won't go into the story, and I've told it in years past, but there's a couple in this community that every time Mom and Dad's mentioned, they're real elderly now, every time Mom and Dad's name is mentioned, they're very emotional. Because the woman had got caught in an affair. It was involved with another man, and Dad and Mom had been praying for this couple. And this woman worked third shift, and she went to a restaurant that used to be nearby, not far from here. And Mom found out she was there at 2:30 in the morning, and my mother, my little German mother, at 2:30 in the morning went to that restaurant. And you don't know who it is, but her first name was Linda. But you don't know who that is, since nobody attends here or has attended here. And she went in that restaurant where the whole gang from the factory was there having their lunch break that worked third shift. And she went in and took this Linda by the arm and began crying and said, Linda, you cannot do this to your husband and family. You cannot do this. That woman had a passion for right. And there was a lot of people said that was out of place. I remember at the time. There's people said that was totally out of place. Everybody said that but Linda. Linda got back with her husband. And Linda has been with her husband ever since. And they're now in their 80s. Because somebody had a passion for right that didn't care what anybody thought and saw a friend making a big mistake and wanted to salvage him that bad. That trait's becoming extinct. Oh, we got to be so politically proper nowadays, we can't even say anything at all. My mother went into a restaurant with 15 people sitting at a table, sitting, talking about inappropriate things and carrying on with this woman. She was with the man and took her by the arm and said, young lady, I've been praying for you and you can't do this. You got to feel. She did. She did. That's a passion for right. It wasn't about pride. It wasn't about control. It was something down here that's becoming extinct. There's no mistake that I made the first one a woman of prayer, because passion is born in prayer. Passion is born in prayer. It's when you're praying for someone and you begin to feel what they feel, and you're thinking about how they must feel right now and what kind of condition they're in and their heart's in, and you start hurting for them, that a passion is born, and you say, I've got to do something. I've got to help this person. A woman of prayer, tremendous personal and moral integrity, passion for right, anxious to forgive. Was the next one I was going to have up here. Anxious to forgive. a woman, a godly woman, a woman of prayer that's anxious to forgive. Well, you do it right for the next 5 years and I'll give this some consideration. No, anxious to forgive. My friend, that is also born in prayer. For it's in prayer that God reminds us of our own mistakes. It's in prayer that God reminds us of all the times we've fallen short and we're ready to forgive our brother or sister. I remember having to go to my mother. I don't think my heart beat any faster. I made straight A's. I was on the honor roll as grade school, junior high, and early high school. If you can believe it or not, I was actually second, tied and battling for second. Randy Stellick, Susie Schultz, and myself were battling for second and third position academically. Was picked to go to the science fairs, was on the debate team. Did very well academically, I'm not bragging. My mom was very proud of that. We grew up in a poor family, daddy was always gone. She was very, very proud of that. I began getting in trouble, got into a lot of problems in high school, won't go into all that, but I began lying to mom. Not at school, when I was supposed to be at school, mom, believe anything I tell her. Believe anything I tell her. Took advantage of that, ought to be whipped senseless for that, but I did. Changed my grades. Made up my own grade card. She bought it. Got kicked out of high school. She thought I graduated early. That's not good. Don't do that, Brian. She didn't know until after I became a Christian that I was actually removed from high school. She thought I graduated early because I was smart. Things had gone south. Won't go into all that. I turned bitter in my life. What I want to get across to you is that there came a time when I came to the Lord, I felt like I needed to level with my mom about some things. And I thought, this is going to kill her. Oh, brother, is this going to kill her? But I got to tell her the truth. I got to get this slate clean once and for all. Did you know that if you know the truth will set you free? Did you know if you come to the truth will set you free? It's a great feeling to not be looking over your shoulder. It's just a great feeling. Great feeling. I love it. If you told me I was going to die at 1 o'clock, I got no phone calls to make. That's a good feeling. That's a good feeling. And I remember one morning, I thought, today's the day I got to tell my mom the truth. That things I'd lied about in high school, there was a whole bunch of things you don't know the half of. Some of you heard this story, but not all of you have. And I went to my mom, and my voice was probably quivering because my heart was beating out of my chest. And I said, Mom, I was probably pale as a ghost. I need to talk to you about some things. Now, I needed to come to that place. I said, Mom, I need to talk to you about some things. And it's going to upset you. She stands at the sink with her back turned to me. I'm over here. I never will forget. She turned around. She went over there and she said, come here. I come over, she put both arms around me and put her head under my chin. And she said, honey, I don't want to hear it. And whatever it is, I forgive you. Whew. I never did tell her the whole story. Now little pieces came out in messages. And she was like, oh, okay. I'd be preaching and forget. Little pieces came out in message, so she kind of put it together as we went along. Anxious to forgive, having a little fun with these stories, but anxious to forgive. That's also born in prayer. Woman of prayer, woman of high personal integrity, passion for right, anxious to forgive. A merciful heart. I was going to have a picture up here of mom standing with Latrice the street girl from Chicago that we brought down from Chicago to Skinner Chapel that had been a prostitute on the street. And there's a picture of Latrice, Afro-American girl, standing with her arm around mom and mom's arm around her. A heart of mercy, anxious to forgive, ready to give somebody a chance. And I'm going to close in a minute. I wish I had these on the wall. But I want to mention the last two. Answer, anxious to forgive, was 4. Merciful heart was 5. 6 is she was daddy's strength. She was daddy's strength. Let me say something so carefully. You know what I need from Pam? Let's say instead of being a pastor that I'm a lineman and I work for the electric company and I'm a lineman. Daddy's strength. Mom was daddy's strength. Let's say that Pam and I work for the electric company. I don't want Pam to try to race me up climbing a pole. You with me? I don't want her to do that. I don't want her to get her lineman boots. I don't think there's anything wrong with a lady wearing lineman boots, so don't get mad at me. I'm making a point here. Mom was daddy's strength. She understood that he needed her in a certain capacity. If I'm a lineman, I don't want Pam to put on lineman's boots and try to race me up a pole and see if she can beat me. I want her to cheer for me while I'm climbing and I can climb 3 times faster. You with me? We need to be strength to each other. We need to be strength to each other as we open the rescue resort and Pam and Colleen are directors. Pam needs me to be cheering for her. She needs me to be cheering for her. And her to have the security that when a difficult situation comes up, she knows, well, I can fall back on Tom. I know he's behind me. Let's get the competition out of our relationships. I could care less if a woman wants to hunt or I could care less. Those aren't issues to me. I don't care about that. That's not what I'm addressing. Allie told me the other day she wanted to learn to shoot a gun. I said, well, we'll just shoot guns. That's the cool thing. Let's take the competition out of our relationships and realize we need to be the strength for each other. Does that make sense? I don't want her to say, well, I can go up that pole faster than you. No, clap for me. I need it. Say, come on, Tom, you can do it. Oh, man, I sure can. Up that pole. You with me? Society is messing things all up. Be the strength to that gal you're sitting next to. Daddy had the strength of Mama. She was an incredible force in his life. She didn't try to control what he did. He didn't try to control what she did. They were very unique personalities. Daddy was a very emotional man, very charismatic man. Daddy had charisma all day. I mean, it was natural. It wasn't anything put on. I mean, Daddy would go into Kroger's and walk around and eat a banana while he was shopping. Daddy just did what, he wasn't being belligerent. He was just real off the wall, but he had so much charisma, he just got by with it, and everybody just loved him. And Mom, she was just stable as a rock and a woman of faith, and she was German, and she was real methodical, but they saw the strengths in each other, and they were strength for each other and helped each other through difficult times. All right, I'm closing. Woman of prayer. Tremendous personal integrity and moral integrity, passion for right, anxious to forgive, merciful heart, daddy's strength, and unwavering faith is 7. And I'm not going to say a lot about that because I've already said it because it's woven into the others. Unwavering faith. And I have written here, great faith is not seeing mountains move. Listen. There'll be a mountain move from time to time. Oh, there will be. It's a given. It's a given. People say, did you see an angel? It's not, I say this very reverently, but that's not like it's some huge deal. It's God does miraculous things sometimes. It's not like, I'm not saying that irreverently or ungratefully, or God does miraculous things sometimes. And it's awesome when he does. And the Mount of Transfiguration experiences are wonderful, but great faith isn't moving mountains. It's believing when things don't look right. Great faith, and I saw this in my mother. Great faith isn't moving mountains. Great faith is believing when things don't look right. And it makes sense to me that the woman of faith, who had an unwavering faith and was the rock for daddy in the ministry, that she would die in a way that made us all trust. Does that make sense? The chariot of fire would have lasted in our minds for a short while and been exciting and got our adrenaline up. But she died in a way that made us trust and made us believe and made us dig in. Unwavering faith. Those seven things will be of great help to you. I saw those strongly in my mother, wanted to share those on Mother's Day. Don't feel like I've done a very good job this morning in either music or message, fighting the symptoms of a migraine today. I'm a little bit disjointed when that happens, have trouble sometimes. So I just needed to say that, didn't feel like I did a very good job, but the content is there and the Spirit will use it regardless of that. That's irrelevant, except it helps me to express it. I don't know if we'll actually start a Virginia club, be kind of fun. But I will say this, as a shepherd of this flock that God's entrusted me with, and that's how I view it, being a pastor isn't being a big shot. It's God's trusting me to look after some of his people who are seeking him. That's an honor. That's an honor. But I will say this, I'm looking for people that got a hunger. I'm watching for people that got a hunger for God and want to know him. And it starts with prayer. Let's stand together. Hopefully we got the truths we need today. Lord, thank you for each one here. Thank you for this special Mother's Day. Lord, my heart is hurting for a number of folks who have had losses in recent weeks. Please comfort them today. Strengthen them. Somehow encourage them today. Be with us as we go from this place. May we be very, very faithful to you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.